Thank you, everyone, for joining us. My name is Jasmohan Bajaj. I'm Professor of Medicine and Co-EIC of the American Journal of Gastroenterology, along with my colleague, Dr. Millie Long, who is Professor of Medicine at UNC Chapel Hill. We are delighted to have Dr. Peter Jepsen, who is the professor in Aarhus University in Denmark, who is the senior author on a paper just published in the Red Journal, Primary Liver Cancer Risk and Mortality in Patients with Alcohol-Related Cirrhosis in England and Denmark, Observational Cohort Study. Welcome, Dr. Jepsen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Here are a few questions. Are the surveillance recommendations for primary liver cancer in patients with alcohol-related cirrhosis in the U.S. more similar to England or Denmark?
So in the U.S., the recommendations are similar to those in England. So it's Denmark's recommendations that stand out from the rest of the world, essentially.
And so then Danish recommendations, just to be clear, is only to focus on patients with viral hepatitis who have cirrhosis rather than everyone with cirrhosis in that. Okay. If ultrasound surveillance is not cost-effective for all patients with alcohol-related cirrhosis, are there higher-risk groups within that cohort that could benefit more from routine surveillance?
Yes. So the difficulty lies in identifying those patients. So the ideal patients for HCC surveillance are those who have a high risk of HCC and who can be treated with curative intent if they do have an HCC diagnosed, and who are likely to live a long and healthy life if they do not die from HCC. The difficulty lies in identifying them, I would say. So it's more cost effective to offer surveillance to men as opposed to women, because men have a higher risk of HCC. Those with concomitant chronic viral hepatitis also have a higher risk, and also patients with diabetes. So those, it would be relatively more cost effective to offer HCC surveillance to these groups.
But we don't have a smoking gun yet. They're much more likely. So there is no plan to just focus on these people right this second. But if you were to, that would be the people more likely.
Yes. So I think all guidelines recommend some sort of risk stratification, but it's not at all clear how that should be done. So you're right. No smoking guns.
So the risk of primary liver cancer and alcohol-related cirrhosis is about the same in England and in Denmark. Is it the same for the US as well?
I have been able to find two studies that looked at HCC risk among patients with alcohol-related cirrhosis in the United States. They both found a higher risk than we did in both the English and the Danish cohort. So the risk was about 5 to 6% in the US versus about 3% in our data set among men. So a little higher in the United States, and we don't know why that is.
Why did this study include data from patients from 16 years in England, but 28 years in Denmark? And does that affect the conclusions?
First of all, we would have loved to have more up-to-date English data. So that's the short story. So we couldn't get those data. It takes a long time to get an updated English data set, particularly in this was post-COVID phase where everything was backlogged in the CPRD. So in short, we couldn't get updated data. And we would have loved to have those.
Great. And the last question, since adherence to surveillance recommendation in England during the study appeared to be low, can we gain any understanding about the effectiveness of surveillance from this study?
So yes, this does tell us something about HCC surveillance, because this is the way HCC surveillance is conducted in England, where HCC surveillance is recommended. And adherence is not perfect anywhere, not in the US either. So I think what we need is more research, and I would love stronger types of evidence for or maybe even against HCC surveillance.
Thank you so much for your comments, Peter. And please go ahead and read this paper that is now in press in the Red Journal. Thank you again for listening to us.
Thank you.